So the question we're going to take up is actually shown to me by Danny Gober, and it's from something from the he saw from the OU has this like daily halacha yomis, which is very interesting. Often has very interesting topics. So one thing he brought up, he thought sounded a little strange, and he asked me about it. So the issue is about the question they ask is, why is it customary for women and not men to light the Shabbos candles? Okay, because the mitzvah of lighting candles is really on men and on women. It's then in the house, right? A house has to have Shabbos candles. If a man lives alone, then he has to light his own candles. So why is it that it's customary that the women do? Okay. So there's two reasons given. Okay, there's I guess you could say a more halachic mitzvah reason and a more midrashic reason, if you want. Okay, so I guess we can start with halachic reason, but really the point today is to do this midrashic reason. Okay, but so the halachic reason is brought down in the Rambam. He says like this. Okay, so technically he says echad anashim echad anashim chayev liyos bevateim near dalek b'shabbos. So this is in Perkei Aleph. Shabbos, he says, men and women are both obligated to have in their house a lit candle on Shabbos. So it's not a man or a woman obligation, it's just a Jew obligation, right? Okay. But then, he says like this, V'noshim, this is in parallel to Gimel, he says, V'noshim mitzuva al davar zeh yoser min ha'anoshim. Women are commanded on this more so than men. Lefishe, whatever that means. Lefishe hein mitzuyos bevatim. They're more commonly found in the home. Ve'ena asukos v'melachas habayis, and they're typically involved in the melacha, the work of the house. Ve'afal pikein, so even though women are more obligated in this mitzvah, because they're the ones who are in the house, doing the work of the house. Right? And again, lighting candles back in the day was a work of the house. It was like, you know, keeping candles, and those just turn an electric switch or whatever. It was, you had to like prepare the lantern and the oil and the whatever. It was a malacha. It was one of the house chores or whatever. The apal pikein, and even though that's the case, sar cheshla has hiron v'livdo gosan al kach. Yes, the man has to warn them and check them. Loma on Shabbos or Shabbos kodesh shetav shachad ligosaner. So the man has to make sure it gets done. Make sure that they're not, you know, make sure they get it done. So again. So the mitzvah is, what do you think he means by this? That the mitzvah is more on women? Right? They're both obligated, but it's more on women because they're the ones who are involved in the house, that kind of thing. So how do you interpret this?
It's like a division of labor, just in a mishpacha, right. And everybody has different things that they do. And,
right.
You know, like, so this is not that running the dice. So that's
right.
What women do traditionally.
Right.
That's
yes.
Who's on.
Yeah, perfect. Right, exactly. It's an obligation on the household. Mm-hmm. It's not an obligation on each and every individual. You don't need to have 10 candles in your house. So it's an obligation on the household. Now, typically, if you have an obligation on the household, that's not a very good strategy. Right? Like in any home, you have a division of labor, right? It's not going to work. Just say, oh, well, whoever gets to it. That's not a good strategy. It's not a good plan. Rather, obligations or house chores, like in any house, any couple, any whatever. Someone does the garbage, someone does this, someone does whatever the things are. It just makes it reasonable to have that. That's why things actually get done. If you just have it, whoever gets to it first, usually it ends up not getting done and whatever. So this is the division of labor in a home. And in homes, the idea of taking care of the lighting is typically the type of a thing which is relegated to the woman. And therefore, when the mitzvah is set up, it's set up that even though, yes, everyone's obligated, but there's a primary responsibility upon the person to whom this type of, of malacha falls. So men have other obligations. Like, I'm not sure it's worth that, but like a man put up the mezuzah in a home or whatever, that's like part of the construction of the home or whatever. So that's, I don't know if there's the same type of malacha, but presumably that's the Baal Bayis that does the mezuzah. So this is, lighting candles is not just a, we think of it as just like a technical mitzvah, but the mitzvah is prepare for Shabbos, right? It's like turning on lights, lighting candles is turning on lights, or getting, doing a lot. So that's generally within the woman's realm of activity, so that the obligation falls upon her. Okay? But of course, if the woman doesn't do it, then the man's obligated. And if the man has to make sure that the woman is doing it, or she's not doing it. He has to make sure, because it's an obligation on him also. It's not like he's just saying, look, it's your obligation, I'm just going to, whatever. If it gets done, doesn't get done, doesn't. No. If she doesn't do it, he's sinful. And therefore, he has to make sure that she actually does it. If for whatever reason she sees that there's everything's running late and she's busy doing the challah and this and that, whatever, well, then the man's going to have to make sure, hey, whatever, she is coming up, you know.
Is there any reason why it would be like she is coming up? Should I light the candles? Is
that
like that kind of a
decision? Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it seems like mitzvah b'yoser. It sounds like it was set up that they're the ones who should be doing it. And the nature of the role is that the man's obligation kind of comes. Assuming it's a home which has a man and a woman, it's like the man's obligation is to make sure, is to be the backup in case the woman doesn't do it, to make the reminder to do it. Which I guess is the case in general. Like, you know, any woman's responsibility, if the man's job is to take out the garbage, then of course it's the woman's job to remind him that he has to take out the garbage, because it's just the way these things work, right? In most instances. No.
I don't volunteer to take out.
You don't volunteer, no. No, but if it needs to get taken out. No, but you'll volunteer to tell someone else to get the garbage up. That's the way the division of labor works. Right, it's like, you're not going to do it, it's not your job. But your job is to tell your husband to do it. That's just the way these things work, right? Yeah, otherwise it's not a good division of labor. If it never again needs to get done, you're going to start doing it, then all of a sudden it's going to become your job again, right? That's not the way these things work.
That's true. Yeah.
So what is the halachic perspective when you're like one or 2 minutes late lighting candles?
Oh, then don't do it.
Then don't do it.
Well, it depends. What do you mean by late? Past shkia?
No, like 1 or
18
2 minutes?
After 18, within the 18 minutes?
Yeah, within.
Then you should do it. Mm. Yeah, that's a custom to do it earlier. But if it's past shkia, definitely don't do it. But within the 18 minutes, I mean, you have to ask your local Orthodox Rav, but in my opinion, yeah, that's the primary halacha is really the before shkia. Mm-hmm. And it's a minute to make sure that we don't light too late, there's like a grace period or whatever too, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the minute is if you don't make the 18 minutes, then you don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the more, again, it's perfectly satisfactory explanation as far as I'm concerned. But then it says here, I'll read it inside, but this is what they say in the OU thing. It says, the Torah, based on the Medrash, offers another explanation. Chava shortened Adam's life on Erev Shabbos by causing him to sin. True? Okay. Chava shortened Adam's life on Erev Shabbos, because it was the sixth day, by causing him to sin. Gave him the fruit, right? Because Chava extinguished God's candle, parentheses, man's neshama, women light candles at Erev Shabbos to atone for that act. Okay? Period. Okay? So that they quote in the Torah. So the Torah says, when I first saw it, I gotta look it up and see exactly what it says. So it says, Kedisa Medrashim Nei Shekavsa Nero Shel Olam. Because she extinguished, this is explaining, Nashim Mitzvah is Bioser. Women are more obligated. These two men from Nisha comes to Neir Shalom. She extinguished the Neir of the world. Pirush. What does that mean? Garma Misa Adam Rishon. She caused Misa to Adam Rishon. So it doesn't say the part about Erev Shabbos, but I guess it's a reasonable, you know, elaboration. Okay, so that's what it says. So women, strange, right? Strange. It's saying women are obligated since they extinguished the candle. Because the neshama of a person is the pasuk. Ner something nishmasada. There's a pasuk which likens the neshama to an air. So she extinguished an air because she caused the rishon to die. Right? So if he would have eaten from the tree, he wouldn't have been a tree, he would have lived forever. And now it's going to. She caused death, if you will, to Adam. And therefore, somehow to atone for that, she's obligated to be lightning candles. Okay?
She's a broken confusion to the world.
Brooke, yes. Okay, so any questions? What do you think when you hear that? Does that sound reasonable, or any questions?
I just don't see any connection between a candle. I mean, I get it that a neshama was like a nair, but was lighting a candle, actual candle.
Right.
On Erev Shabbos. How would that atone for anything?
Right. Okay. Yeah, right.
Just two questions.
Yeah, right. Right. What is the connection, and how would it atone for anything? And what's the Erev Shabbos thing is kind of a little weird also. It's not clear that's explicit in the thing, but the whole thing sounds totally It's like a nice story or whatever, but is that that's why women are lighting candles on Hashem?
Saying Hashem is like a nair, it doesn't mean like a literal nair is not.
Right, it's not somehow.
I think it's more like a Groundhog Day thing, because you're not doing something right, yeah. You have to do it over.
Right. I mean, you're not exactly redoing it, you're just lighting a candle. It's not like you're giving, you're taking the good fruit or the tray food and saying, oh, don't eat it. You know, it's not, you're not doing that.
Well, it's not like a heavy, it's a heavy thing to say that you extinguish somebody's neshama and then all you have to do is comfort it to light a candle. It's not a...
I know.
Punishment.
I know, it's true. It's true. And is that really, do we think of that? Like, I've never heard, do we think of that women are collectively responsible for this crime and, like, they have to atone for it? I've never seen something like that before. Is that women at large are responsible for Chava's mistake?
But Klal Yisrael is all connected.
Yes,
so if someone does something wrong.
It's true, but even the men of Klal Yisrael are connected in, by that measure, no? I mean, is that women are obligated for Chava's sins and not and men are obligated for Adam's sin?
It almost sounds like, what is it, like in Catholicism, like original sin, like we're
right. Somehow we have to atone for it.
Yeah,
right.
It's not.
Through like Shabbos candle. Right. Yeah. The whole thing just sounds totally right.
Is there any connection with Dina Yitara?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. We have to, you know, pursue it. So, my initial thought. Someone just come on. Okay. Yeah, so my initial thought was to try to think about it, but I got stumped. Okay, so then my second thought was to look at the source and to see, perhaps it would be enlightening. Enlightening. Yeah. So.
That's what you sent out earlier?
Yes, that's the source I sent out earlier. So it turns out the tour that I have doesn't have the source, so I wouldn't have been able to do it. But in Yeshiva they have a tour which has more sources. So it's a fancier one. So it cited a Medrash Rabbah. Okay? And the Medrash Rabbah gave some context and it helped me out. So we'll see. Okay, so I sent it an email if you want. It's probably on your phones. I just sent it today, like an hour ago. So it's on the, in the email if you wanna could give you a picture here. Give my phone. Here we go. Okay. So it says as follows. So it's the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, Parsha Yud Zayin, the end of Parsha Yud Zayin. I have a fancy 3-volume Medrash Rabbah, it's on page Pevav. But it's Parsha Yud Zayin, and these parshas are broken up into parts. It's the last one, Simchas. But it's at the very end of Parsha Yud Zayin. So it basically, it's a lot of different things going on here. But this is the way I'm going to start from Umipnei Ma Nitan La Mitzvah Nida. Okay. Basically, there's three, and this is one of the commentaries on the side brings down this point. Is that women are somehow women are identified as having 3 women mitzvahs, if you will. Okay. In fact, there's a Mishnah which says there are 3 averos which women die for in the time at the mishas leidasan, the time of childbirth. For 3 averos, women are punished for their failing in these mitzvahs or in these averos in the time of childbirth, and they are nida, keeping hilchos nida. Chala, not being careful in the midst of taking off chala, and hafrashas and halakas ner, lighting candles. So these 3 mitzvahs are mitzvahs which are given to women to be concerned with nida and chala and halakas ner. So this medrash is going to explain why these 3 mitzvahs are given to women. So it says umneima nitein la mitzvahs nida. See where I am? I'm like ten before parsha yirchas. I'm like 10 lines up. Before that. You can see it's like dead center in the page round. Okay, right afterwards it's Eo Chaf Aleph in parentheses. In the center of the page. You guys with me or no? Yeah? Okay. Umeinam mitzvah mitzvah nida. Ayidei sheshafcha adam shel adam harishon, because she spilled the blood of adam harishon, the fikach nitzvah mitzvah nida, therefore the mitzvah nida was given to her, which is blood related. Right? Okay. Umeinam mitzvah mitzvah chala, and why was she given the mitzvah of chala? because she, I guess, messed up Adam Rishon. Shehaya Gemar Chalasa Shel Olam. And he was the completion of the Chala of the world. I didn't check out what that means, but they reference another Medrash, which basically says somehow Adam is identified with the Chala of the world, whatever that means. The Figach Nitan Lam Mitzvah Chala. So therefore, she was given the Mitzvah Chala. Umne Yaman Nitan Lam Mitzvah Ner Shabbos. Why did they get she in this Ner Shabbos? Amalem Al Yidei Shekavsa Nishmasa Shel Adam Rishon. Because the fact that she extinguished the Neshama of Adam Rishon, the Figach Nitan Lam Mitzvah Ner Shabbos. So therefore, she's given the Mitzvah Ner Shabbos. So it's basically tracing these three women mitzvos, right, to three aspects of Chava's sin, that she caused us to spill his blood, she caused the Chala of the world to somehow be messed up, and she caused his neshama, his ner, which is the neshama, to be extinguished. And therefore she's given these three mitzvos. Okay? Yeah, ner Hashem nishmas Adam. It's a pasuk in Mishnah. Okay. So, what's your first thought when you see this medrash? Is it helpful, not helpful?
It made me think that it's not to look into the specifics of Nair, but more what the relationship of this original
faith
with Chava is for somehow related to the women's mitzvahs.
Right. I thought exactly. Is when I just saw the Torah originally, so I was thinking about the candle, what's the idea of a candle, and a neshama, and like, what's the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, thinking about that, and Erev Shabbos, and all those types of thoughts. But then when you see it's one of three, and those three have nothing to do with the candle, those are the challah, right? They seem to be that it's not about candles per se, but there's some overarching theme related to Chava's causing Adam to sin, and thereby tracing her obligation in various mitzvahs to somehow be reminiscent of that. Right? And once you see that, you realize probably the particulars of the Ner being the Neshama, and the Chala being somehow Adam's Chala, and somehow the Nida being blood, it seems to be super like a maybe surface connection. Maybe there's something deeper, but it's the core. The fact that you see all three of them, it indicates that the core idea here is not connected to the particulars. It almost sounds like they're looking for things to attach it to, whereas there's some bigger picture idea which they're getting at, which that it kind of reshifts our focus, right? Which is very interesting, I find, because at first, my first impression when I read this message was like, this doesn't help. It just multiplies the problem threefold. It's the same exact thing. It doesn't say anything else, really. All it does is it gives two more instances of it. When you realize you get two more instances of it, it kind of helps you see a pattern, and you realize what's essential, what's not essential. So that's interesting, right? It's a good example of how seeing a source could help you out, even though the source, you might say, is not saying anything else, but the context helps you see, you know. Okay, so that being the case, why don't we try to, you know, see if we can come up with something. Okay, is everyone good on the phone? Are we following? I heard a few people came on a little late. Any questions?
I just wanted to know, is there like a question we started off with in the beginning?
Yes, the Rambam on the surface says that the reason why women are more obligated in their Shabbos than men is because it's a household mitzvah. It's, if you will, like a house chore, which women typically are involved in, and therefore there's a division of labor, and that mitzvah devolves upon them, more primarily, which is a good halachic explanation. But then the Torah brings down a second reason, all based on the Medrash, because of the woman sinned by giving Adam, you know, the Veira, and therefore she extinguished his candle, his neshama, and therefore the women are obligated. So we all understand what's the idea behind that. Okay, that's roughly.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Good? Did you hear? Did you hear the Medrash on Shabbos?
Yeah, no.
The three different things? The Dan and Chala and Lakas and Arya. Okay.
Can I ask, I think, what is just a side question?
Yeah.
What kind of question is Mithneima Nitzan La anything? What is that?
Well, I guess, for example, I mean, I don't know about the Nida exactly, but let's say the Nair. So why are, there's a premise then that women are more obligated in Nair Shabbos, right? Why is that? Right? So what's the basis? Why aren't men obligated? Why aren't the men the ones who light candles, Shabbos candles in the house? Why are the men who are the ones who are mafresh challah? I mean, I guess challah maybe is usually the one who's baking is the one who's doing it. But I guess in the candles, they just... Yeah, I don't know, you know? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's so much there's a problem or there's an idea which the Medrash... It's like a setup question. Yeah, to bring out the idea. But I mean, by the candles, it's a fair question. Right? I mean, in theory, men could have been obligated, although the Rambam seems to answer it pretty well.
Yeah, right.
It's not... I don't think it's that it's major bothersome problem and the only answer you come up with is this whole story. Right? I don't think so.
It's just to introduce the idea.
I think so. That's the way I understand that. Okay, any thoughts?
Maybe you could say that, like, the chait of chava is, like, representative of a character trait that women still have, like, as descendants. I mean, Adar is obviously descendants of Adam and Chava, but maybe it's like a some sort of quality that's being counteracted by his mitzvot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good approach. So if you go that way, I guess the question would be, what trait is that? And then how do these mitzvos counteract it?
I would just support that approach by saying, I'm just saying that everything is that she did something, this is all counteracting something. It's not like because she's more suited in some positive way,
right.
But rather it seems to be counteracting something.
When you have a challah, it's one of the manaskuna. Basically, when you make a challah dough, then you have to take a portion of it and give it to the kohen.
Okay, so I guess in my mind, I always thought that what we're doing now is like we're doing like a placeholding type of thing.
Yeah, right.
It was a kohen, but I guess I never thought about it. So when there was a Beis Hamikdash running, the women would take the challah to give to the kohen. Whoever gave it to them.
Right. Right, and now it's like a reminder of it, so we separate it off and we burn it. But yeah, it's really right. It's a similar idea, like of your produce, you give 10% to the kohen, like one of those things.
Women didn't do that.
No, I guess women weren't the ones. The plain shot is women are the ones who were in the field in the silo and the whatever. But this is part of the kneading. When you knead it, you take the dough and you give a portion of it. So arguably, generally, women are the ones doing that. So, right. What do you say?
Kind of seems strange that like all these mitzvot that women do, like it's coming from like a negative place, not like.
It's true.
I don't know.
Everything we do is negative. All mitzvot are counteracted qualities.
Even against the Tara.
Just like rob the good feeling that you get out of doing that because you're like thinking that
a negative.
Yeah.
It's true, but you know, oftentimes things are negative and they're avoiding negative, removing a person from most mitzvahs or removing a person from negatives and putting them on a positive.
Yeah, right. I think the greater potential of something, the more negative, the more you have to overcome all the things. Yeah.
Right.
The other way around, like we're like the people who can, like Yisrael, we, instead of just wallowing in whatever state humanity is in, we go from, I mean, God created us not perfect, you know, we're in the, like our task, our goal for ourselves and for the world is to take everything that would just be a default setting and to elevate it through, you know, thoughtful actions. And like, yeah, like we're not perfect, like that's, we weren't created perfect, that's not our fault, like, you know, that's just how we are. And, you know, and it's a positive thing to move ourselves in a different direction and to just stay that way. That's not
I think, you know, we are created perfect, but because of our free will, we are not perfect.
Right.
Yeah, in a way.
Okay. So I guess what could we say about the sin of Chava that would have some applicability to every woman or women today? Right.
It caused changes in all these. You know, aspects of our relationship to the world, and you know.
Before that, it was like, in my humble opinion, before that it was like all black and white in Garden Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is very easy. It was black and white,
right.
You know. And then, but you know, then suddenly with the scene happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then the new concept of good and evil was introduced to the world.
Right.
But how can we ascertain something being good or evil?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something may look very nice on the surface, it could be bad.
Right.
And something could look very bad on the surface, it would be good. So, this is what confusion in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Eliza, what do you mean?
But then, like after she sinned, there were changes in terms of, you know, how man related to these
like elements. Chala,
what was it called? Like the products of the earth was different, right? It was the dunder and the
nida, I guess.
Right.
Now there was like pain.
Right, what was the other one?
The light, Shams candle.
I don't know. Well, in terms of her relationship to giving birth and creating people, and you know.
Okay.
And it's a reminder to be more aware of the things that we do because of the long-lasting generational implications
That's interesting.
Us.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That's why the Shia is not here.
Okay.
What was Chava's punishment?
That's a good question. One is there was pain, childbirth, and child raising. And should be under her husband?
No.
Right, under her husband, right? Somehow subordinate to her husband. Is there another one?
Relationship
with the Nachash. I know, that was under the Nachash's thing though, I think, right? Or no? Maybe.
I
was thinking
so.
That, right? Yeah, if you'll desire your husband, then he'll rule over you. Okay. Good thought. Maybe that could help someone.
Harishon has free will as well.
Yes.
How about ask him to do something? You could just say, I don't want to eat it.
It's true. I know. It's funny because when Hashem went to him, he said, hey, It's the woman that you gave to me. She is a gave it to, right? She gave it to me and I ate it, right? And Chazal say that he was a kafwe tov. He was like denying the tov. That's, you can't just blame someone else for your son. It's true. I know. It's funny. Here, it's like blaming her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it? You blame her for her sin.
She gave it to me and he ate. Yeah, and he ate. The Nahash is telling her all the stuff. Yeah,
right.
And he's like,
okay. Should have got the other person here.
That's funny. You guys, what were you going to say? Yeah. Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm thinking. See, one thing, maybe you're thinking more general than it seems like you guys are thinking. But that one thing you could say is that Chava failed in her role as a wife. Okay? Besides for failing on her own for eating the food, but that was a failure in her role as a wife. Okay? She was, in theory, a wife prepares food for her husband. Right? And she did prepare food for her husband. But she prepared bad food for her husband. She provided him with food, but provided him with the wrong kind of food. Okay? And that is perhaps a challenge, or there is the responsibility or a challenge of a wife as in a home. A wife has certain responsibilities in the home, or a certain role in the home, and the man has a different role in the home. But one of the roles is the wife takes care of the basic home. She sets up the home in a certain way. She cooks food in a certain way. She makes lighting in a certain way. She whatever, right? And for whatever reason, I mean, the blame isn't only ours, but the home that a woman sets up could be very instrumental in terms of the direction of the home, the husband, the children. It's a great responsibility on our part to be able to set up the proper home built around the proper values. Whether it be a kosher home, a home which has properly prepared for Shabbos and an environment and atmosphere of Kavod Shabbos, a love of learning Torah, whatever ideals which are set up in the home. And if she sets up a home properly, then that enables her husband and her children and the whole home to be a home built around Torah. And if she, on the contrary, serves non-kosher food in her home, or she whatever, then ultimately you could say the husband should just say, hey, I'm not eating that, that's not kosher. But at the same time, a man does lean on his wife. And it's much harder for a man to be able to do something like that. Right? If the woman so does provide him for food, and he says, no, it's hard. Emotionally, the man, like you said, Chava just gave it to him and he ate it. What is it? You don't even ask him. I mean, typically, that's not what men do. Men, their wife is... provides them for food, and maybe it's, yeah, ultimately, of course, it's his sin also, you shouldn't just do that. But in general, that's oftentimes the type of home that the woman will set up could make it much more difficult for a man to be able to go against, to rebel, and to say, no, I'm not going to do that, or whatever. It creates tension, there's a lot of pressure due to the nature of the dynamic, and therefore she has upon herself a great responsibility to lead her family. And of course, the husband has a similar responsibility in his job and whatever, but the woman's role is not just to cook for the home, but it's to use the cooking, use the different aspects of her malacha to be able to create a proper Torah environment, which could be very instrumental in the direction of the home. And Chava, besides all the explicit content of the chait that she ate and she desired and this and that, the fact that she did give her husband to eat and he ate, it was a failing on her part. And look, again, Adam blamed her, which you see, it's true, Adam did blame her. So you see that was his mentality. He says, what do you mean, she gave it to me? And that's not really an excuse, and that's what Chazal say, he was a kafei tov, that's not real. But at the same time, she should know, a woman should know, that her husband oftentimes will follow her lead. In these areas, and wrong or right, but that's the nature of the relationship, and she should be considered. She should take that into account. Her sin may affect Chava's sin, may affect to bring down Adam as well, bring down the whole home.
I mean, her role as Ezer Kenegdo, that was
yes
preceded.
Yes,
right?
It's true. Right. It's true.
Yeah,
Hashem created an Ezer Kenegdo, so she's a helper, but she should be able to go against him when he's not.
Yeah, but throughout history also, we can see that all the great kings have wives who tell them that they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All the great kings. And
right.
And we just look at, okay, like Rabbi Akiva, he's not the king, but his wife made him to study Torah, and
it's
he
true.
Became who he is.
It's true. It's true.
Later
yes, definitely. Yes, it's good. It's interesting. It's the idea of like a. Of course, it goes both ways. But the idea is like even the great man. Then they say there's some saying like that. Every great man has a great woman behind them, or something like that. So that's you know, and Chazal say if a woman allows and sets up the abilities for her children and her husband to learn Torah, then she splits in the star. So that's. It's the recognizing the way homes and great families in Klal Yisrael are maintained. The woman has an important role to be able to lay the foundation, whether it be from the kids and from the home. And even something as mundane as the cooking. But the cooking is part of it. And the lighting. Is she going to be setting up lighting to be able to have, I don't know, a weekday, spending her best candles on Wednesday night because that's when they do whatever, or is she going to make sure like Shabbos candles are set up properly? Is she going to be, you know, the challah? Is she going to get to eat all the challah and save every last drop, make sure her family has tons of food, or is she going to take a portion and give it to the going? In terms of Hilchas Nida, is she always going to be available to her husband? Is she going to be careful to be involved in the halachos of Nida? So the woman in these different roles, the mitzvos, and I think that's the point, is that all the three averos that women die for, v'shas le'dasa, means at the time of, when a time when a woman's life, more so back in the day, when a time her life is in danger, in her time of giving birth, so if she fails on in her role as a wife, as a Jewish mother, as a Jewish wife, if she's not careful in doing these mitzvos, it means she's derelict in her responsibility as being the proper Jewish woman and her role in the home. So then she's likely not to have hashgacha to help her because she's failing in her responsibility vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. That's her role and her responsibility vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. These mitzvos are mitzvos which are directed towards being able to, in different areas where a woman may take pride in or maybe have her energies in, whether it be in the food and creating the atmosphere in her home, in the sexual area. So the Torah takes mitzvos and helps her recognize that she has a lot of energy in these areas, but it's important not to be centered around making her own, you know, pride or her own she's a good cook or whatever it is, but it's to take these areas where she is involving all her energy in, or much of her energy in, and showing her, directing it, subordinating it under ideals and principles, which are Torah ideals. So the home is going to be built around those ideas. So that's the failure of it, but that's, it's not that we necessarily, I'm saying it like this, this is one thing I'm saying a little different than you guys were suggesting. It's not that every woman has Chava's sin. It's that every woman faces Chava's challenge, which is, what are you going to do? Are you going to set up the proper home? And look, maybe Adam wanted the fruit. It wouldn't have been pleasant for Adam to say sorry, Chava to say sorry, you're not allowed to have that. She may have wanted to please him. She may have wanted to give him the yummy food. But at the same time, she'd have to say no. So there's a responsibility, there's a challenge upon women to be able to maintain their integrity, to keep a home and to resist the various temptations, to be able to direct the home in ways away from Torah, ways away from Shabbos, away from Taras Mishpacha, away from, what's the last one? Kafalah, I guess kosher, the proper food in the home. So that's what's saying is that when the woman, and I think that's what's saying, is when the woman is doing these mitzvos, the point of the reason why the thing the Torah brings down this medrash is that you could say halachically women are obligated because it's the house, halachas habayis. But there's a value for her to think about these ideas, to think of Chava's failing, and to think of her responsibility, and to recognize these mitzvos touch upon a greater theme. Upon, they're not just technical mitzvahs, they're mitzvahs which are central to her role and her, you know, her challenge in life. Yeah.
Are you saying, okay, Yeah, I'm trying to see why these three specific mitzvahs. I mean, there are a number of different areas where, just even in the Mishpacha, where women, I mean, there's a woman's relationship with her husband, there's a woman's relationship, like, and there's the actual bias, there's raising children, there's, you know, let's say challah is maybe more of a part of, like, greater Klal Yisrael, or food, or, like, why these three? I mean, if you're saying that a woman has certain areas where it's, I mean, tell me what you're saying, I think this is how I understood you, is that these are areas where she can consciously direct what she's already involved in to have, you know, an awareness of, and, you know, imbue it with a greater understanding rather than just be involved in those things for mundane purposes. Food, home,
sexual,
relationship,
yeah.
But, like, is there a reason why we're saying, like, let's say, like, if the Nita is representative of her relationship with her husband, and Ala is representative of food, and Nair is her bias, like, is there something, like, organic, why that's the three things that women are most likely involved in?
Right. I hear your question. I'm not sure. I can think about it some more. But these are mitzvahs. I mean, the givens are that there are certain, there are 630 mitzvahs in the Torah, or whatever it is, the Rabbans. And these are mitzvahs which are given to women. It's not like there's a list, there are other mitzvahs that they're leaving off. So now your question is, why isn't there a ma'isa mitzvah on her raising her children? That's like, there isn't a mitzvah like that. And these are mitzvahs which, I mean, it's a good question, is why is it that there are mitzvahs, these mitzvahs which are, I guess, built for a woman. But it's a good question. I don't know. That's, I guess, maybe that Mishnah, why these three mitzvahs are not shem nesos.
Are there mitzvahs on the bias that aren't for women, that are for the man?
I mean, everything the mitzvahs are. Near Hanukkah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. But building a fence around the roof so that it's, you know.
Those are all.
I think they're on the bala bias, you know.
I think as the woman has her own home, they're on her and the man.
Yeah,
this
right.
A couple, then
right.
The man, it's on the man.
I think so, because I think he's the Baal of Eyes.
I think these
are within her area. My point is, I mean, I think it's a good, fair question you're asking, but I think it's an additional question, I guess. This is a given, is that there are these mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs are, these mitzvahs are allotted to women because they're central to her role in the home. They're built around the role in the home, and therefore they help her have the right ideals in her, for, you know, in the way she creates a home, these different facets of the home. I'm not sure how much, you know.
Like, kashrus is not like a woman's mitzvah, but a woman's, like, I don't know, I hear it, but I don't hear it. You know,
kashrus isn't
a
woman's
mitzvah.
I mean,
the word is
constantly
what?
But kashrus sounds more like a personal mitzvah. Yeah, like,
yeah,
you have to be careful about it.
Right, but in terms of, like, there's no, it's on each person, but it's also, I mean, in my house, it's all on me, you know, in terms of, you know.
Yeah, but isn't challah, but isn't that, let's say challah is that. Challah is in providing for the food of the home. Food is like a big, big, big area, and challah is, I mean, I don't know if you have to have a lot of mitzvahs in the thing, but challah is the bread, which is the essence of the meal, and the essence of the food, and her role as the one who provides the food, she has a mitzvah which she's regularly being involved in, and recognizing, yes, you make the food, but you get part of it to the Kohen, and you recognize that there's a higher objectives than food besides for just feeding your family. So food is a big area of a woman. Then the Nair is creating like an environment, a home which is well lit, and creating like a clean home, and like whatever, all those different aspects of creating a proper, you know, experientially a good home which is pleasant to go into. That's the homemaking. Right? And then the relationship, Anita, is tied in with her role as a wife, and so, I mean, I don't know, I'm not sure if there's a question about the children, but I don't know, like I guess they're not that many, I don't know if there are that many areas in which the malacha of a woman in the home lie into, but I mean, certainly food, and I mean, these are like large areas of responsibility. Arguably, if you'd, I mean, you could look at the halachas of what obligations of a woman are in a home, but I think this, you know, has most of them.
This is like the baseline. Everything else is like building on top of it. But if you don't have
right, yes, right.
Then
yeah, right. It gets areas.
So you're saying, let's say, for example, as far as I know, there aren't any, let's say, mitzvahs about cleaning. Like,
well, this is cleaning. No, that's okay. What I'm saying. This is the missile.
Well, I'm saying, but like, if there were, that would probably be the end of the same category.
Yes, correct.
You know?
Right.
Something about how you dust your house.
Yes, correct.
Like that,
yeah, right.
Would probably also be a one that's
right.
Right. The same way.
Correct. Right.
But
exactly.
Considering these are in the corpus of missiles that exist,
right.
These are the ones that relate to the home, so
right.
They're flying into the dominion of the world.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. And I think it's also ones, like, for example, I know this was one dimension of it, but women oftentimes, like, could be relating to these things in the wrong way. Like, some women take great pride in the fact that they're a great chef and they're a great cook, which is great, it's fine, but there's an objective, there's a higher objective towards being able to be a great chef, which is it helps in terms of both Hashem and Hachmasas Orchem, being able to supply your family with, have their physical needs taken care of, and so that's an area which a woman could have a wrong perspective on. Similarly, on a home, some women would take greater pride in they have a beautiful home, a clean home, a nice home, a well-lit home. I mean, that isn't the thing nowadays, but that's in the part of a person. She'd look at her home, she'd keep such a nice, beautiful, that's another area, which is true, it's nice to have that, but that should be towards being able to enable things like Shabbos, or to be able to enable a proper environment to be able to serve God appropriately. And another woman may take pride in her looks and her relationship with her husband, and that's great, but it should be one of Kedusha, and one which is built towards procreation. And so, right? So these are areas where a woman does have this responsibility and does involve great energy in these areas, and it's could be doing it for a proper mindset or an improper mindset, so the mitzvahs help her in these different areas. The only area I could see that's kind of missing, I don't know, I haven't thought through much, is the child raising. But I don't know, I'm not sure if there's a mitzvah per se, which is geared towards that, which is, like a particular mitzvah. What's that? It's true. It's true. But the mother's role in child raising is not the role of Talmud Torah. It's more pre-Talmud Torah and setting, or midos and, setting up. Not the technical formal of Talmud Torah. It's more informal. Tanias. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, what about
it could
the,
be
Tzniyas
tied with Nida. Arguably, Tzniyas is tied with Nida.
It's also like a derech of just kind of support yourself.
Yes.
That's an example for children also.
Yes, right. But there's no mitzvah. Right. I mean, that's the question. I mean, there's no particular tzuras of mitzvah which is set up for those things. Right. Right. The point I think is that it's taking a particular action of a mitzvah which you could get caught up in the particular performance. It's time to light candles. It's time to do nida, it's time to do challah, and to kind of put it in a broader perspective insofar as this is helping you focus upon, you're involved in the realization of your cooking, or of your whatever, the lighting candles, taking care of your home, and it could help you use it to give you a focus towards an objective of it.
I think the visual of lighting candle is so important. Because when I'm traveling, sometimes in hotel you actually can light fire.
Right.
So I have to bring like electronic
candle,
I turn it on, and the big brohar, it just feels so different.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize that when you start lighting candle again, you realize that wow, this is so great. It's such a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like you made shaman.
Like,
right. Yeah,
like, it's
like, right.
Two electronic
right.
thing, like,
right.
you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay, any questions on the phone? Comments? Okay. Sounds good, so I guess have a good night. And maybe next week, hopefully.